Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Tyler Link, and I am back today with another episode. And the title of it is When Life Gives You Lemons, Make Lemonade. And I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about where I've been, just some updates on the back end of my business. That's kind of what I use this podcast for anyways. It's a little bit more behind the scenes, what's going on with my life and what decisions that I'm making to just kind of document my journey as I am cruising towards a $10 million a year company, and just some of the lessons that I'm learning along the way. And recently, the times have been full of learning lessons, and honestly, some things that are more unfortunate and not necessarily even learning lessons, but I'm talking about what I'm making of it. Because at the end of the day, I kind of realized that, right? Us as humans, we all go through hard times. We all have things that happen that aren't expected, that are bad, and times just get hard. And I realized what really separates a more successful person from someone who's not is not necessarily what happens to them, but it's more about how they respond and what they do with it, right? And that's kind of what I've been looking at the last really 6 months, specifically of one of my businesses, which is a landscape company. So on this podcast, I really don't talk about my landscape company that much or what it, you know, like what it is and what I'm doing with it. And part of the reason is, to be honest, I'm not that interested in it, which is possibly part of the reason why a lot of this is happening. But just for some context, right? So when I first started my landscape company, it was really more of an idea because it was almost going to be like a testing grounds, to be honest. Like it was more of an experiment, which sounds kind of stupid looking back, right? You're like, why would you ever start a business as an experiment? And to be honest, when I started my business, my concrete business with my father-in-law, it was one of those things where we started getting successful and making more sales and more deals, and I was learning a ton, but I always kind of had it in the back of my mind. I was like, man, is the concrete business successful because of me, because of my father-in-law, or because of both of us combined, right? And I truly just didn't know, and so I wanted to try it, right? Like, are all these things that I'm learning about in business, are they true, or am I just getting lucky, or am I just being carried by my father-in-law and I just don't know it? I just wanted to find out. So I got into my landscape business, and in the first year, we did something like $600,000 in sales, and I made a good chunk of money, and I did that while only working 5 to 10 hours a week, and it was kind of insane. And then last year was my second year in business, and it was basically more of the same. Honestly, once we hit a certain stage, I wasn't that interested in growing it, but I was like, oh, well, I make some good money off of it. You know, I make 6 figures a year of income and don't have to work that hard on it. The only thing is, I don't know about you guys, but the more that I've been in business, I learned that there's certain things that I absolutely love doing, and there's other things that I don't love doing. And I think one of the hard parts with landscaping with me is I was always forced to go back to doing some of the things that I didn't enjoy doing. For instance, I didn't want to be part-time project manager on landscape projects. And I know that sounds stupid and petty, and a lot of you might like sit here and be like, wow, like Tyler, you're not working that much on it. Like, why do you care? It's one of those things where, you guys ever have anything where something doesn't really take up a lot of time, but it takes up a lot of mental brain power on the back end where you're just like, find yourself zoning out about something, or you're just like thinking about it and it kind of sits in the back of your mind? Well, that was happening to me with a lot of my landscape projects, because although we were really profitable, we were really small and I couldn't really afford to have a ton of help. I couldn't really afford to have like an office manager or a full-time salesman. And so I would constantly, even though I wasn't necessarily doing something, it would just take up some of my mental processing power, having to keep things in the back of my mind. Oh man, did I email this person? Did I schedule this job? Do I have to do this? Or did I send this invoice? And it was just kind of in the back of my head always. And over time, it really kind of started to bother me that that was happening, mainly because I knew that I already had a good thing with Caesars Concrete. And to be honest, through this whole entire time, I also started Contractor CEO, which mainly the reason why I was doing that is because my passion at the end of the day, what I've really learned myself, I got into concrete and I absolutely loved it. But my personal passion within concrete was the sales and marketing piece. And I got to a certain stage in the concrete where I didn't really have to focus on operations or the projects anymore. And I absolutely loved it. And then at Contractor CEO, I got to focus on my passion, which was helping other business owners with their marketing. And we were crushing it. And when I say were, we still are, and things are going so well. And so every time that I had to think about my landscaping company, it just annoyed me, which is so stupid, right? You guys are gonna listen to this and be like, Tyler, like, dude, what the hell? Like, you could pay me six figures a year to spend 10 hours, you know, working on something. And it's true. But it was one of those things where, you know, in the more and more that I'm in business, honestly, I start, it's kind of weird because how many successful people do you guys know? I'm sure you guys listen to other podcasts. I listen to a podcast like My First Million. I listen to Alex Ramosi. I listen to Tommy Mello. And all of those guys say the same thing, which you should only be focusing on one thing at a time, especially one active thing, right? If you're going to be CEO of a business, you better only be CEO of one thing. Well, stupid me, right? I have to learn the freaking hard way with everything. Maybe not everything, but a lot. And I think I finally came to the realization that, man, I don't want to do this whole Radiant thing anymore, but I'm kind of stuck with it, right? I have trucks, I have trailers, I have employees, I have all this stuff. I can't just like shut stuff down. And we're so small, like our business is basically worthless. Like, because at the end of the day, I mean, it's not like we have this massive client list or repeat business. It wouldn't really make sense for someone to buy my landscaping company. Okay, so fast forward, and last year, because I really wasn't paying attention to the business, we started to have a bunch of problems. Like, for instance, my main project manager who I hired last year, I think I actually told you guys about him in my podcast. He was like an old military person. And what I was told from him is, hey, like, I'm used to leading people. I used to manage, you know, multiple teams in the military. And he communicated so well. And you guys know in the landscaping, concrete, or really any contractor-based industry, if you have someone who's like a blue-collar person, but they present themselves very well, they come across very educated, they talk very well, they come off very professional, it is a massive blessing. And on top of that, this certain guy also ran his own construction company for about 5 years after the military. I was like, oh my God, this could not be more of a perfect fit. Because he wants to come in, he wants to manage my job sites, he wants to manage my crews, and he wants to take us to the next level. And I was going to pay him very well for that. Well, I don't know if I've even mentioned this on the podcast, but long story short, he was not what he promised at all. He was still, in fact, very intelligent, and he actually was a really good leader, but his ability to manage multiple projects was never going to happen. It was just never going to happen. He told me he was so great at landscaping. He was building all different kinds of projects wrong. He didn't know how to even get the guys to do like simple tasks, like go and pick up material while he stayed back at a project and managed stuff. You know, there was so many things. I'm not gonna get into all the specifics. Long story short, it just did not work out, which was a bummer because I actually really liked this guy as a person. He just did not perform to the level that I was expecting. And I worked with him for months. And after thousands of dollars, like probably tens of thousands of dollars worth of errors, I just had to stop the bleeding, right? So I have to get rid of him. Also, in the meantime, what happened? Okay, so what happened is I had one main foreman. Okay, this is something else that I learned. I had one main foreman and a couple of his family members worked with me, and they were by far my best crew. What was crazy about them is every single time I'd pull up to a job site, they were always working hard. Always, always, always. And they were unbelievably skilled and talented. They knew how to do pavers and hardscapes and retaining walls. The main foreman knew how to do electric work. They knew how to do drainage. I mean, you name it, they knew how to do it. They were a blessing, a blessing. Well, my project manager, he's going downhill. In the back end of his life, he's dealing with a lot of personal stuff that I'm not going to share. But let's just say it's stuff that any type of person would be distracted with, right? Then I have my foreman, and at the back end of his life, his mom gets super sick, and very shortly after, she ends up passing away. And so not only did I have to lose my project manager, but now my foreman comes to me and says, I'm not mentally fit to be able to work. And on top of that, the two family members that were with him, they said, hey, you know, if Efren's not working, like, we don't feel comfortable, because he was the leader, right? He was the leader of the field, and now he's gone. So I lost all of my most talented people. And then I was like, well, you know what? I still have my right-hand man, which was my brother. And my brother is a lot like me, and also we're a lot different, but he is very good at multitasking and managing multiple things. And I don't want to shut down the company, right? Because I'm like, well, I'm not going to shut down the company because it still is working technically, even though we basically lost everything. But let's just shift models. Like, maybe this is a blessing, right? Like, let's sub work out instead of doing it in-house. And so we start moving forward with that. And then, man, over time, I can tell how much the stress was getting to my brother. And I was trying to talk to him. Hey, dude, like, let's just slow down. Let's take a break. And because he's such a people pleaser, he didn't really want to listen to me. And he doesn't want to let me down as much as I don't want to let him down, right? And it's extra pressure because if he fails his job, he's not only failing himself, but me. I never told him that, but he kind of just, that's the way that he thought. Long story short, with all this pressure and all this stress and all this stuff going on, he has a bad stage of depression. And as of about 1 or 2 weeks ago from now, I had to lose him too. And what we decided is that he needs to go work for someone who's not a family member, because even then, if there's a lot of stress at work and stuff, he is not going to take it personally, because at the end of the day, he felt like, hey, this is a family business. I can't make mistakes. I can't do all this stuff because I don't want to let my brother down. You know, and again, none of that was told to him by me. That's just the way that he was feeling. So now over the past 6 months, right, I went from having a like $600,000 to $700,000 a year company that was fairly autonomous to basically being left with a bunch of equipment and customers and stuff. And honestly, just myself to really try to figure out how to do the work. And I was faced with a decision, right? And what I realized is a lot of successful, like I said, every single person, you, me, everyone that we know, they always go through challenges, right? This podcast is not about me coming on here to basically rant to say how shitty life's been. In fact, it's quite the opposite. What I came in here trying to, I guess, portray or tell my story or document's the better word, because that's really my true goal of this, is to document my learning lessons through life, and hopefully you can learn from them as well. Especially if you own your own contracting business, you could probably relate. Things don't always go according to plan, right? And we have to be very fluid. We have to be able to rebound and really just kind of roll with the punches, because if there's one thing that we all know is that the only thing in life that's constant is change. So I had a couple options. I was like, well, man, I can just start all over. I can find another, like, you know, young protege, basically like replacing my brother, you know, train them on the sales and the project management, you know, start there, and then we can find subs and yada, yada, yada. But what I ultimately landed on out of everything is realizing that through all of this crap that has happened, in my opinion, it is actually a blessing. And why do I say that? Is because, you know, it's kind of funny how life works sometimes. I remember I kept saying, man, I'm trapped. I don't know how to get rid of my landscaping company. Like, I can't do that. I'm providing for so many people. I have my brother. I have all this stuff. I'm trying to look out for so many things. And although I don't care about it, a lot of other people are depending on me to care about it. And for some reason, it's just one of those things that I did not feel comfortable basically just abandoning everyone, right? That's kind of what it felt like. But now I look at this as an opportunity, almost like a way out. And yes, I still have things that I got to do. Like, I got to either get rid of my equipment, or I have to grow my concrete company and they can grow it. And I could always just keep my website, right? And as projects come up, if there's really good projects, if I ever truly want to get involved with one, then I can. But I could just also totally pass on all the stuff that is coming up that I'm not really interested in. And I could always manage it myself if I want to. Again, if I want to. But basically where I'm at right now in life is taking everything that's happened and I'm looking at it like a blessing. And I'm almost just saying, like, man, that was a little rough, but thank you, God, for providing me the opportunity to be able to get out of this without, I guess, having to disappoint anyone else. And I more look at it like, man, I've been doing Caesars Concrete a little bit of a disservice by being a little bit distracted. And there's so much unexplored potential at Contractor CEO. And now I have even more time to delve into that. And honestly, for the future, I've never been more excited. After everything, it's kind of like, man, I don't want to say this because it sounds bad, but it's what I'm thinking. So I'm going to say it anyways. You ever get out of a relationship with a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, a significant other, and, you know, in the moment, you enjoyed that relationship, but then you get out and you like, you look around with your life and you're like, wow, I have all of this extra freedom now and not this responsibility. And yes, I'm missing out on some of the benefits, you know, like I love my significant other, but then when it's all said and done and the dust settles and the chaos goes away, you look around and you're like, oh my God, wow. Like, thank God, to be honest, like at first, you know, like when you go through a breakup and you have that sad phase and you're bummed and you're thinking about the things that you could have done different. But then when everything is all said and done, you look back and you're like, oh my God, like this all actually happened for a reason. And if anything, you know, you have to be a little bit careful what you ask for, because I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. I'm also a big believer in ask and you shall receive. And one of those thoughts that I've been thinking over the past year has been, how can I get out of my landscaping business? Because I knew it wasn't sellable. I knew I didn't want to disappoint people. And I knew that, honestly, it was going to be hard to get out of and let so many people down. And although it came in a not good way, and this is the other thing that I have to remember, is typically, you know, and I'm sorry if you guys aren't religious at all, but just like my spiritual side, is I always remember from my spiritual coach, he says, man, not only be careful what you ask for, because ask and you shall receive, but make sure you ask in a good way. Like, for instance, you don't want to ask for, I want out of my landscape company. Because honestly, God can take that and they could say, oh, well, you know, in that case, bang, you know, incoming thunder and lightning, and just be prepared for this massive storm, because that is technically giving me what I want at the end of it. But what I typically ask, and what I actually am asking God or spirit or source or whatever you want to call it, or however you want to think about it, is I'm more looking at it as, for instance, when I take a flight, I say, okay, I want to make it to California in God's speed, but I also say with grace and in God's perfect way, because I don't want to end up in California because the plane crashes and I have to get, you know, rushed in an emergency helicopter to the hospital, for instance, right? That could be making it to California with Godspeed, right? So we don't always want a certain result. And if we do, we only want to get there in a certain way. So that took a little bit of an unexpected twist. I really was not expecting to share my spiritual beliefs with you guys at all. But, well, one, I wanted to come in here and provide an update like I always do and just give you a little bit of the background of what's going on in my life and what I'm doing. And then also some of the learning lessons, right? And my biggest learning lesson is when life is going this crazy, having the ability to look at it with the glass half full versus the glass half empty is so important. You know, us as business owners, things are never going to good and we have to maintain being positive. And I never, ever, ever sit there and reminisce on the past and be like, oh, woe is me. I should have done this. I should have done that. All I do is when things happen, I take a reflection moment and I look back, but I'm not looking back in regret. I'm looking back so I can gather all of the learning lessons that I need to out of the situation. And then I can basically pack it all up, you know, thank it, and then say goodbye. Because I'm like, well, that was one stage of my life, but that doesn't need to be my whole life. And it doesn't define who I am as a person, right? So yeah, just want to provide that. Honestly, feeling kind of the most free I have felt in a long time. And with some of this extra time freedom, I'm looking at potentially getting into a different type of content. So I hope to be bringing some cool stuff to you guys soon. Specifically, what I want to do is do some interviews with some people who are already successful as contractors and really just ask them all the questions that I want to ask, right? Like, not only what do they do for marketing and sales, but you know, how did they, like, what do they deem as successful, right? Like, is it all about money to them or is there something else? Like, do they prefer time freedom and how do they set that up? What was their journey like? Was it always easy? How do they keep growing? How do they always get past some of their roadblocks that came up? Just trying to understand and get someone's vantage point that's a little bit farther ahead in the journey so I can learn. And I think you guys will really like it too, because I think, you know, there's a couple other people that do this really well. I mean, and specifically, I would say Tommy Mello, if you guys haven't heard of him, he has a podcast called The Home Service Expert, I believe, or The Home Service Millionaire. I can't remember. but I would definitely check it out. The only thing that I have against that podcast is he almost interviews people that are like too far ahead. I mean, I'm talking people that are doing like 50 million, 100 million, sometimes more than that. And it's typically more like HVAC and plumbing companies, which, you know, I can respect, but it's just different than what I do, which is concrete and landscaping. And I'm sure, you know, what I've grown to know is most of you who are listening to this are also in that. So yeah, I just want a little bit of a different take on things. And I hope that you guys do too. So with that being said, hopefully that comes down the pipe here soon. I'm already in talks with interviewing a local painter that I have in my local market who is doing, I believe, in between $5 and $10 million. He's got 30 employees and he lives a kick-ass life. He's not one of those people who like owns this decent sized business, but is miserable. I mean, this guy is like going mountain biking all the time, has lots of, you know, like family events that he's doing and vacations and you name it. He is just like living the life. And I was like, man, if there's someone that I want to learn from, it's someone like that. Cause yes, I like money and I want to be successful, but what I really want is to have a kick-ass life. And so I want to talk to someone like that because, man, how many other people do we know that are doing, say, $5 million a year or $10 million a year, but they're miserable, right? They're slaves of their business. They never set it up correctly. They're honestly not that profitable. They, you know, money is just a multiplier. So if you think of a $1 million business that's stressful and you grow that same entire model to be $10 million, well, guess what? You're not going to really make that much more money, but your problems are going to 10x because now you have 10x more of the same shit. So just kind of cool stuff to think about. But anyways, that's my podcast. Hope this helps some of you guys out there. If life is ever giving you a hard time, just know that everything's meant to be for a reason. Be very cognizant of the stuff that you're asking God or that you're just putting out into the world, right? Because like you say, ask and you shall receive. So be careful of what you ask for. And when something comes, no need to regret it. Just look back and learn from it and get better, right? And that's really, at the end of the day, that's all life's about. So hope you guys like it. I will catch you in the next episode.